God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the fourth day of March, 2012, and you're listening to our evening worship. Tonight is our monthly teen night, and our sermon is preached by ministerial student Trevor Kelsey. It is entitled, Fulfill God's Purpose. Thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Blood and Aren't you thankful for that song? That is by far one of my favorite songs. Aren't you thankful that you can go in? It's so good. Thank you, guys. It's very good. You can preach after that. Amen. I did get to Skype with my parents today, and they did want me to tell you guys hello, especially McKenna. McKenna was like, tell everybody I said hello. So they do miss y'all, but the Lord is blessing down there. Reagan's still gimpy with her knee. I asked my dad, I said, where's Reagan? Oh, she's probably still on the couch doing nothing like she always does. So, but they're doing good. Tonight we're going to be Ezekiel chapter 2. I am very thankful to be back here. My roommate probably got sick of me hearing that. My roommate Corey's here. We probably got sick of me saying all week long, I cannot wait to go to Ponca City. What's good about Ponca City? Well, I just love being here. I love being here. This is where my heart's at. Just love this church. It's just been a blessing to me. I was thrilled to be able to come back and preach to y'all again. Berlin called me probably, I don't know, a long time ago, seems like, asked me to come preach, and I was like, yes, I'll do that for sure. And as the time comes, gets closer, I'm like, oh man, it's right around the corner. About a week and a half, like, man, I better nail down what I'm going to preach. And usually every time I've preached, it's clear the Lord's like, this is what you're going to preach. And nothing was coming, and I'm like, oh man, nothing like last minute. And then Wednesday, the 3 days before I'm preaching, I was going over Ezekiel with my roommate, and I was like, this is it. This is what the Lord wants me to preach. Praise the Lord. Only have 3 days. Let's get to this. So we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 2. I'm very excited about tonight to see what the Lord has for us in this chapter. We're looking at the call that God placed on the prophet of Ezekiel, and I realize that this call was Ezekiel's call, but we can also take this call, and it's the same call that God gives each and every one of us. So please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read the whole chapter, Ezekiel chapter 2. If you look with me in verse 1, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." Such a responsible task that the prophet Ezekiel, such a big task that he's receiving from the Lord God. So we're going to take a little look at that tonight. So if you please, now we're just going to open up in prayer tonight. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, once again, just to stand before your people and just to proclaim your word, Lord. It truly is an honor and a privilege, God. Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with us time, Lord, as we just spend a few moments just looking through Ezekiel chapter 2 and the calling that you gave Ezekiel. Just bless this time and hear and pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Mouth's already getting dry. Yes. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. Just want to start out by saying that. I want to preface this. I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Never have. Lord willing, never will. And everybody knows I'm a big Washington Redskins fan. Me and my dad are. And I like to call them the Dallas Cowgirls. I just want to preface this before I get into my sermon. Just because Even though I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, they do make good sermon introductions. So I'm probably never going to live this down, but I am using something about the Dallas Cowboys for my introduction. Anyway, since I hate the Dallas Cowboys, Roger Staubach, did I pronounce that right? Is it Staubach? Okay. He quarterbacked for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day. And he won a world championship in 1971 for them. And one thing I was reading about him is one of the hardest things that he had to accept from Coach Landry was he had to be obedient to his commands that he gave him. When Landry Jones said, "You're going to throw the ball," he was going to throw the ball. When he said, "You're going to run it," you'll run it. And the only time he could ever change it was if it was an emergency. And he better be correct. Otherwise, he'd hear from the coach. And so Roger had to decide, am I going to think that I'm the genius and go with my gut instinct because I know I'm a genius. I'm an NFL icon. I can do what I want. Or is he going to obey the commands from his coach and trust his coach in this area? Well, one thing Roger said later after he decided to listen to his coach, he said, "You know, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." Once Roger realized, you know, this coach who is so high up, according to me, he's my authority, and he's got all these things that I'm supposed to do. He's given me these commands that I need to follow. Things began to take place, positive things. And so then just how Roger had to submit to the authority of his coach, you know, we see this calling from Ezekiel where he had to submit to what God was going to have him do. A very big task, and I understand that the calling that Ezekiel was receiving from God is so much bigger than running a football play. But if you'll just allow me to just relate that to it, because you can see just the similarity between the two. And so we see that the calling that Ezekiel was getting from the Lord God came in a time in Israel's history when it was a very dark time in their history, a time where they're rebellious towards God, a time where they didn't really care what people had to say about doing right. You know, they had in their mind how they're going to do things, and that's how they did it. So in verse 1, we see the beginning of the calling of Ezekiel, and it says in verse 1, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." The thing that I can just visualize that helps me understand it is I can just see a dad, or imagining my dad grabbing me as a kid, and like, "Listen, Trevor, this is important. This is what I want you to do." And this, I can just imagine, you know, God's picking Ezekiel up and standing him upon a rock, saying, "Ezekiel, I'm getting ready to give you this important command, this important calling upon your life. I want you to listen." And in verse 2, it says that he was filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit entered into me. Well, Ezekiel knew that in order for him to carry out this big task, this calling that God had placed upon his life, he had to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's the same, it's true in our lives as well, because our calling is just the same as Ezekiel. Like I said, I understand that this is Ezekiel's calling, but it's the same calling for us. We are called to a rebellious nation. If you look around you, it's the same thing. And so we are called to this rebellious nation, and we have to have the Spirit of God in us. If we ever want to do anything for the cause of Christ, we must possess the Spirit of God. We cannot do it in and of ourselves. And Ezekiel knew that. And so the call came from God himself, and he was full of the Spirit. If he ever wanted to do anything for the Lord, he must have the Spirit of God in his life. In verse 3 and 4, it starts to talk about the exact calling that Ezekiel is receiving and describes the people that he's being sent to. Look in verse 3 and 4. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." Ezekiel, I'm sending you to the nation of Israel, but not just the nation of Israel. They're rebellious. I'm sending you to a nation that has in their heart how they're going to do things, a nation that for a long time has transgressed against the Lord. They're impudent. I honestly, I didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look it up. And they're like hard-headed. They're stiff-hearted is what he's saying. He said, "Ezekiel, this nation that I'm sending you to is rebellious. This nation that I'm sending you to is hard-headed. They don't want to hear what is right. They don't want to hear how to do things right because they're content in how they're doing things. They're hard-headed. They're rebellious." Do those characteristics not seem similar to the very society in which we live in? The society in which we live in is very rebellious. They've transgressed against the Lord. They do things contrary to what God says is right. And it doesn't matter what you say. They're rebellious. They're stiff-hearted. They're hard-headed. They want to do it their way. And that's the society we live in. That's the society we're called to reach out to and take. Thus saith the Lord. Because Ezekiel wasn't just taking a message that he had planned for himself, that he prepared for himself. God said, no, you will take thus saith the Lord. You're going to take my words and you're going to speak it to this rebellious house of Israel. Because let me tell you, if Ezekiel were to go in his own power and his own might and tell him, this is what I have to say to you, it wouldn't have mattered at all. Because our words don't change lives. I'm telling you what does is God's word. God's word is what changes lives. So God said, you will take thus saith the Lord into this rebellious house, and this is what you will say. So he's going to this rebellious house of Israel, this nation, and it's such a big task. It's huge. It's almost like, you know, like a task that you see here that you can apply to us as well. As Christians, we have the same kind of calling that Ezekiel does. And this is a very big task that, you know, even Christians, sometimes they tend to stray away from. If you look in churches across America, you see Christians who do not want to do what God's called them to do. And you may say, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to the mission field. And I understand that because not everybody is called to stand behind a pulpit and preach. Or not everybody's called to go to the mission field. But let me tell you, everybody is called to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Everybody is called to fulfill the calling he's placed upon your life. So like it or not, you're saved, you're called by God. So, I mean, I guess you can say, welcome to the big leagues now. I mean, you're here, you're called. And so, we're all called, and you see that within the Great Commission. The Great Commission is just like what Ezekiel was receiving, you know, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father. We're supposed to take God's word, thus saith the Lord, to the rebellious nation and show it to them, to teach it to them. They need it. This is what will change lives. And we have to be dedicated. We have to do it because we are called. Now, we don't know what's going to take place, but God has still called us nonetheless. So as we read through this passage, we see Ezekiel kind of get, to me, it would be a little discouraging. And maybe Ezekiel wasn't discouraged. But in verse 5, it says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Ezekiel, they may not listen to you. You're called to go there, but they may not listen to you. But you still need to go. Why? Because I've called you. So as you're going, you know, I'm just trying to think about even in today's society, when the people that you go to high school with, they need to hear, thus saith the Lord. The people you work with, the people that you may come in contact with on a daily basis, they need to hear, thus saith the Lord. And you may try time and time again, and they don't listen. They don't want to, because why? They're a rebellious house. They don't want to hear it. But that still doesn't change the fact that we're still called to take it to them. You know, I'm just thinking of one of my coworkers at Bank First there in the city. Time and time again, I've worked with him for a little over a year, and I've shared the gospel with him. I've invited him to church. He's like, you know, Trevor, you know, I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't. And once a year at Southwest in Oklahoma City, we have what's called Friend Day. I don't know if they have it here or not, but a real push is to encourage, like to invite all your friends, all your coworkers to come to church so they can hear, thus saith the Lord, to hear what they need to hear. And so, you know, I've invited my coworker. It's like, come on, will you be my friend at Friend Day? You know, give him the whole pitch for it. And he's like, yeah, I'll read your tract, but I'm not going to go to church with you because, you know, I don't do that kind of stuff. Hey, they're rebellious. They don't want to hear, so they may hear it, they may not. But that still doesn't change the fact that we're called. That doesn't change the fact that God has called us to present, thus saith the Lord. And so you still have to go. And if you can imagine, that's probably a little discouraging for Ezekiel. He's like, I'm going to go minister into the nation of Israel. I'm going to pour my heart into them. And they may not even listen. What's the point? What is the point? The point is God's called you. God's going to be there. God's going to take care of it. Because too many times we tend to focus on there's no results. There's no results. Well, let me remind you, in 1 Corinthians 3, let me read it for you. God tells us that he's in charge of the increase. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So what Paul's saying, he said, I've planted, Apollos has watered, but God gives the increase. The one that plants and the one that waters are one, because God's in charge of the increase. So that we're supposed to be faithful in taking the message to them, because we're not in charge of the increase. We don't know how God's going to use it. Because it says in verse 5 that, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. See, because if you're faithful in taking them, thus saith the Lord, the Bible, God's word, then they're not going to be able to say, you know, I haven't been warned, because there's been a prophet there, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you, if you're faithful in telling them what you're supposed to tell them, you're, in essence, like in chapter 3, talks about how the blood is off his hands because he's warning the righteous and the wicked. In essence, Ezekiel, you're doing your job. You're fulfilling your calling by telling them, thus saith the Lord, that's what I've called you to do. I didn't call you to go save sinners. I called you to relay the message. This is what your message is. So that's what Ezekiel's wanting him to do, that's what God's wanting Ezekiel to do. And, we have this responsibility because, also, somebody also took the time and was faithful and brought the message to you. If you think about it, it's like, oh, it's just Pastor Waterloo. It's Brother Lynn. Or it's my Sunday school. It's my mom or dad. They were faithful to fulfill the calling that God placed on their lives. I'm so thankful for a man by the name of Pastor Kenneth Plunk. His name probably means nothing to anybody in here. But he pastored Bible Baptist Church in Sepulpa, Oklahoma for a long time. And many of you know my dad's testimony. He grew up in a Christian home, but was rebellious. And he was saved under the ministry of Brother Kenneth Plunk. And as a result of Brother Kenneth Plunk being faithful to the calling which God placed on him, my dad got saved. And my dad got saved, called to preach. He's in the ministry right now, faithful. And as a result of him, my dad getting saved, my mom's saved. Not called to preach, but she's saved. And she's faithfully serving with my dad. And then, as a result of them getting saved, they influenced me. I'm saved, called to preach, training at Heartland Baptist Bible College to become a preacher myself. And then Reagan's saved, wants to do whatever God wants her to do. And same thing for McKenna. She's saved, and she wants to serve the Lord. And because of one man took the time to be faithful to the calling that God put on his life, it affected a generation. And by God's grace, it's going to continue to affect generations after it. Because one man was faithful, it affected a generation. So we must be faithful because we don't know how God's going to use it. We don't know what God's going to do with our sharing, thus saith the Lord. So since you don't know, it's still a commandment that God gives us this call. We're supposed to live it out. But then God gives Ezekiel some encouragement. In verse 6 it says, And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. The briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions. Dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for though they be a rebellious house. He said, Ezekiel, listen, the people you're going to minister to, the people you're going to come in contact with that I'm sending you to, they're going to say things about you. They're going to mock you. Don't be dismayed by their looks. Don't be dismayed by what they say about you, because you know what? They're a rebellious house. But you're called to go there. You don't have to worry about what they're going to do, because I'm going to be with you, because you will be saying my words. Ezekiel, you can go to the house of Israel, the rebellious house of Israel, and proclaim God's word with confidence, because that's it. You're not saying your words. You're saying my words is what it says in verse 7. So Ezekiel, you can go to that rebellious house. You can go proclaim God's word with confidence, because you're saying my words. You're not saying anything but my words. So Ezekiel could go with confidence. Let me tell you, we can go to the rebellious nation that we're living in today in our society with confidence and say the things that we're supposed to say, because we're saying God's words. We're saying, thus saith the Lord, because like I said, this is what they need. They don't need anything from us. They need, thus saith the Lord. And so, as you read throughout the scriptures and stuff, you can see examples after examples of God being with the people that he called because they were faithful to the calling. People like Joshua and Moses, he was faithful to them because they fulfilled the calling that God placed upon their life. So if you're faithful to God's calling, he's going to be there with you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's with you. And as you're going to this rebellious nation with confidence, because we have confidence in the Lord, you have to remember to be different. to not be like the people you're trying to reach. You can't reach them if you're like them. In today's society and churches across America and Christians across America, they develop this mindset of you got to be like them to reach them. That's not the case at all. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. If anything, you see to be salt and to be light, because that's different. You're supposed to be different in the society. Because in verse 8, Ezekiel's receiving this encouragement. Like I just said, thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. Ezekiel, don't be like them. Don't get to the nation of Israel that I'm sending you to and become like them. Don't be rebellious like them. Don't go after their ways. Be different. You have to reach them. This is what I'm calling you to do. In our society, we have the same task that Ezekiel did, and we face the same things as well. There's things in this world that we want to grab onto, things that we want to take part in because it looks good. We want to have the mindset, well, I got to be like them to reach them. You know, it's even sad in our churches today that there's people like that where, oh, sure, they talk a good talk, but they don't walk the good walk. You know what I'm saying? They come to church, and in here, they're like the best Christian ever. I mean, they're faithful in this ministry and this ministry and this ministry, but you get outside these walls, you can't tell that they're a Christian. Why? Because they become like the people they're trying to reach or that they're supposed to reach. And so we can't do that because otherwise you lose your effectiveness. And when you become like the people you're trying to reach, you tend to lose focus on things that are actually important. You know, things like the calling God's placed upon your life, the thing like taking thus saith the Lord to the rebellious nation, that's what they need to hear. You know, we can relate this to soul winning because the people that we live with, the people that are in your high school, if there's a time ever, it's now that they need to hear thus saith the Lord. I graduated from Pohai and they needed it then, they need it now. They need you guys to step up and to be a witness, to fulfill the calling, to be faithful to the calling that God's placed on your life. It's the same thing at your workplace as well. People have jobs. People you work with need to hear thus saith the Lord. Need to know how maybe God can change their life. Maybe need to know how Jesus Christ can come into their life and how they can just totally change inside out. They need to hear thus saith the Lord, because that is what will change their lives. You know, I believe that this will go with the passage that we're reading, that a lot of times we lose our focus on it because we become like the people we're trying to reach. And the sad thing is, and I'm not trying to put a plug for visitation here at Central Baptist Church. I'm trying to put a plug in for this is what God's called you to do. You need to do it. That's what I'm trying to plug in here. Because, I mean, the church, you know, they're trying to help you fulfill the calling God's placed upon your life. They have visitation programs where you can go and share, thus saith the Lord. If you don't do it in your workplace, I mean, the church has given you an opportunity to. Sometimes we don't take the advantage or the opportunity to go do that. Why is that? Sometimes I fear it's because we become like the people we're trying to reach. We become like the people we're trying to reach. And so we lose our focus. We lose that the mindset of this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're called to do. I just want to ask a few questions tonight as we come to a close. Just, are you faithfully fulfilling God's calling on your life? God's called us to do that which is taking thus saith the Lord to the rebellious house, to the rebellious nation in which we live in, because they're all around us, because it's the society we live in. Are you being faithful to that calling that God's placed on your life? Because let me tell you, we have a powerful message right here. Why not use it? God's given it to us. He's equipped us with it. So let's go into the people that we're supposed to reach, not to be like them, but to be different, but to show them, thus saith the Lord, because this is what they need. Lord, we come to you now, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity once again just to preach your word, God. Lord, it truly has been this message. You know, I know how you spoke to me through it, God. Lord, I just pray that it just was conveyed in a way that was honor and pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, as we just bless this invitation as Brother Lynn conducts it, in your pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.